this thing. No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay. Here we are. And a welcome, boys and girls, to Dixon Jane's podcast number 992. Coming to you from the first camping trip of the season for me, Rondeau Provincial Park here on Lake Erie, and I have never been here before. Wow, I'm parked on quite a slope. I guess I could move forward a little bit. at least my head would be sort of up. It's not a slope down. The distance from the post where you plug in to the vehicle, you definitely need an extension. And I've got two extensions, so I'm covered on this baby. But I'm going to move that car forward a little bit. And maybe put the awning out a little later. But right now, holy shit, the sun is beating down on me. The sky is blue, a few little puffy clouds. It is a gorgeous day, and it is warm. It is warm. I couldn't tell you the temperature unless I change watch faces, and I'm not going to bother doing that just for you, my dear listener. I'm a happy camper. Literally, a happy camper. I've just snapped open a pale ale from McCallson Brewing Incorporated from Quebec, from Montreal. Looks like they're on Rue Saint-Ambroise. Nelko was looking for this company because they do the flavored apricot ale. And you can't find those anymore in Ontario. It's very hard to come by these Quebec beers. So, I don't know if I covered that part. I don't think I did in the last podcast. We were on a beer search. We had stopped. I had thought a practical stop was Fairview Mall in Pointe Claire. I think I mentioned that. And, we found the motherlode. And Nelko bought 30 cans of beer, which is something that's just unheard of. And a lot of it is the mentality. You go on holidays anywhere in Japan, you have to bring back gifts for people. And she knows a couple of people who like beer. And that was just the ideal thing, to get them beer they could not get in Ontario. And that's also very Japanese. When you go away somewhere special, you're almost obliged to bring back something from that area. Every area specializes. Oh my God, don't get me started already on Japan. How advanced a civilization they are in so many ways. It could so easily have been otherwise after the war. There was a strong communist movement, but let's not. Oh my God, this brain of mine, it just loves to jump around and dance. I want to tell you about while I wait for Lisa to get back from desanitizing her tanks, I guess, and then filling them up with water again. She's got a new vehicle, so of course she's going to do everything just right. And mine, I've just found out I got a couple of leaks in the road check. Don't need to do anything about it now. It's filthy inside, but hey, that baby's running. I was a little worried. Any speed over 110, and I was nervous. I think I did mention the air in the tires, and I think it's could be my imagination. But with the front tires heavier than they should be, or more air than they should be, I don't know. I just didn't feel right driving. And, of course, I've already mentioned that maybe the time to change the tie rods or tighten them or whatever they do and get an alignment and get new tires. And I was aware of all of that in my brain as I was driving. And there was a few really wind gusts that seemed to come out of nowhere. And when you have a big vehicle with a big flat side like this, you really feel it. Like, whoa. And it's scary. It makes you just grip the steering wheel. Holy shit. Because you don't have control. When this thing pushes, the wind pushes it, You're thinking, okay, how much further am I going to move? You know, am I still in the right lane? But anyway, we got here, and when I got on the slower roads, maximum 80, the driving became comfortable and enjoyable again. Now, I want to push the reset button and go back to the beginning. I did most of my work yesterday, filled the tanks, pretty well packed everything. Today, I just had to get a few things out of the fridge and load them up. I even packed some firewood last night. So I was ready to go. My goal was 10 o'clock. I was on the road by 10:20, so that's not too bad. Now, here's the nice part. Nelko was still in pajamas, of course, when I left, and said, would you like some oden? Now, oden, if you're from Japan, you know right away, or if you know anything about Japan. If not, that's that wonderful, I've talked about it before. Like a soup, but it's got vegetables. It's for the winter. It's things that taste good. And the tastiest of all, and the texture that's so wonderful to bite into, is daikon. And you slice that. And of course, most believe me, I don't think there's any listener to this podcast right now, unless Dave Olson happened to tune in, that would have daikon in their house. But anyway, an Alco often has daikon. And it gets peeled, sliced up, and boiled in this soup. And along with these things made out of fish paste, I forget what they're called. They're nice, chewy texture. And then the eggs, the boiled eggs that go in and take on all the flavorings of whatever else goes in there. So when you bite into that boiled egg, oh boy, it's not just a boiled egg. It's something with a lot of flavor packed in. And she offered it to me, and it was, you know, it was going to be her breakfast. It was on the stove. And I said, no, you have that. I want you to have that. This is just as I've packed up the van and getting ready to leave. And she said, no, you sure you can take it? You can take it. And I said, no, I don't want to take your breakfast. No, you know, go ahead, you can have it. And I said, well, maybe just one little piece in a bowl. And I've already got my shoes, my brace on. I'm not going back into the house. And my next trip in, after the last load, moved her car, moved the van, ready to back out, unplugged. I go in and she comes from the kitchen and she's got this lovely little oval-shaped dish. And it's got a boiled egg, a piece of that very chewy, wonderful fish paste. I forget the Japanese name, I'm sorry. And a nice big round piece of daikon. And a little spoon. And it is just so nice to sit in the hallway on this little bench where I put my shoes on. And for the last thing before hugging goodbye, eating a little bowl of daikon. That was like setting me up for this trip. And it was just wonderful. And it's something that could only happen in my house because I'm married to a Japanese woman. And that's not always the easiest thing in the world, believe me. I've probably dropped hints before about that. But my God, it can be quite wonderful too. So this first beer, my St. Ambrose Pale Ale, is Tuna Alco for being the wonderful wife. And believe me, that little holiday we had in Ottawa and Montreal was just right and was good for both of us. So, yeah, that makes me a happy camper. And I'll be tuning in and out. I'll probably be having more beer, and I'll probably have a little gummy later, and who knows what you're going to hear. But I needed to get this started now. While I sit in the sunshine with my feet up on my little footstool, all set to enjoy the next few days. I don't have to move. Today is Saturday afternoon, just after 3:00. I don't have to leave till sometime afternoon on Tuesday. So that's good and wonderful. This would be the Scarborough Dude signing out on this particular clip. Bye for now. Good morning. It's Sunday. March, I don't know, April, what, 11th maybe? Seventh. Close enough. 7 gum 11. Baby needs new shoes. Yeah. I'm, well, sitting in the sunshine. It's another beautiful day. It's chilly. Got 3 layers on, but god damn, it's nice. A lot of birds. I'm sorry. A lot of birds in this park. And that's lovely, just to hear them all around, see them flying. It's quiet. I quite like it. And, yeah, I'm going to just catch you up a little bit. This is all going to be about my camping experience at Rondeau Provincial Park. It was cold sleeping last night. I'll work backwards. I was awake around 3, just really cold. And that's not happened to me before. Usually I get so snug in my sleeping bag, it's never a problem. But with the poor circulation due to my neuropathy, my feet could really feel it. So I realized I had left the vent open, and so cold air was getting in, of course. So forced myself to get out of the sleeping bag, close the vent, and then I turned on the furnace once or twice. I think when I went to bed at 1, and then again in the middle of the night, turned it on, and then of course this morning, turned it on before making the coffee, which I'm drinking right now. Well, it's still hot. A little bit of banana bread with peanut butter, and I just had a bagel with egg salad on it. Well, did you need to know? No, you didn't. Sorry. What you do need to know is I didn't get to bed till 1 o'clock because I made a deal with the fire. Lisa left maybe just sometime after midnight. And I told the fire, as long as there are flames coming out, I'm not leaving. And at one point, we'd put on one last log, and that log just burned forever. We had a good hot fire. Lisa cooked 2 sausages over the fire, you know, on the grill. And she thoroughly enjoyed those, I could tell. I was too lazy. I didn't cook mine. But it just quiet, you know, sitting around a campfire. We got a good fire going. I turned the whole thing over to Lisa. Lisa did the whole, built the fire, tended it. I handed her the Huron poker, the famous, on this podcast, Huron poker. It's just amazing. And again, that's from Lake Huron. Now here it is on Lake Erie. It just gets shorter every trip, of course. But just does a wonderful job. That's become a very featured part of the camping equipment. And I'll probably have that as long as I have the road trek. So there you go. And then just at the very end, I took over. Made a couple of moves and just had a wonderful fire going all night. The stars were incredible. Like, I can't remember seeing the stars as well, the skies as clear as they were, and just this display of stars, starting with the Big Dipper, and then just everywhere you looked, wonderful, wonderful. So I think we're in a pretty good sight line for the eclipse, because there's trees here, but it's open sky where we are. And anyway, yeah, that was it. So the deal I made with the fire was I will not go to bed until the last flame has died down. And that fire just kept going. And there's a part of me, it was fun because I was playing that game of trying to be in the now. Right? Okay, I'm here now. What does this mean? What does now feel like? What is now? And there was a little voice in my head said, Ken, you know, it would really be nice if you're just inside the road trek and lying down, maybe reading a little more on of Eckhart Tolle. You know, there's some good passages still to come. Be really nice. You can be warm. Be nice inside. And the other voice, no, you can't. You've made a deal. You can't leave. And what's the matter with this now anyway? And it was all about, what does this now mean? Now you know, trying to stop the mental chatter, trying to tell myself, no, I have to stay until the end, and trying to sort of not freeze time, the opposite, I guess, live in that time and be aware of that ever-changing moment. And it's easier with a fire because that fire is just ever-changing. As you're looking at the fire, this, you know, microsecond, the flame dances this way, is this purple at the bottom or whatever, and then the flame dances, oh, it comes out that way, and it's just, it's this continual change, and you're trying to open up to that being your living at this moment. You're not the fire, but you are living in the same passing moment that that flame is dancing, that, you know, yeah, there is no time. I found an amazingly good passage I'm going to read to you, but anyway, I the voice, you know, the whatever was going on with me trying not to be me, trying not to be the thoughts, trying not to be the personality, trying not to be anything but existing in that moment. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do. Lots of other things come into play. But anyway, that's what we did, and I held to it. I did the right thing, and yeah, and then it was nice just to get in until I woke up freezing. So today's a whole new day. I have a couple of things on my list. I have to fix my coffee pot. I from the last trip, the handle it's duct taped together, and you cannot get the coffee pot out of the coffee filter without spilling coffee and you know, burning your hand and everything else. So. That's a job I'm putting off. I think today's the day to get that done. I have to find my wonderful coffee thermos that Naoko brought me from Japan that I used to keep the coffee hot. And it's just disappeared. And I know I was sure. Yeah, I was drinking from it yesterday. And I can't possibly imagine where it could have gone. But it doesn't seem to be in any of the obvious places. I'm going to take a little walk down by the water. We're not far. I should definitely visit, find out where the washrooms are and visit those. And read a little more. There'll be, well, that's the future. This is now. Now is the nice, cool morning air. I'm not fully dressed. I'm still wearing my pajamas, sweater and a coat. Get myself dressed. Decide if I need to change my t-shirt or just keep wearing the one I wore last night. Yeah. Big things. Big things happening. Here at Rondeau Provincial Park. So, yeah. I better stop now. Well, I've already said too much. Scarborough Dude signing off with a ding-dong. Okay, I'm back to read another passage from Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, the Eckhart Tolle book. I keep going on and on and on about because it resonates with me. And I have the feeling that a lot of you kind of tune out. And that's okay, but I have no choice but to share because right now in my time, in my present, at this stage of my life and my development, this is very, very important to me to try and understand this, to make sense of it. And it's part of what's been a very long journey because I've sort of revisited these ideas again and again and again, especially through the various Zen books that I pick up and play with. So this section is called The Paradox of Time. And I'm just going to read a couple of select passages. So tune in. On the surface, the present moment is what happens. Since what happens changes continuously, it seems that every day of your life consists of thousands of moments in which different things happen. Time is seen as an endless succession of moments, some good, some bad. Yet, if you look more closely, that is to say, through your own immediate experience, you find there are not many moments at all. You discover that there is only ever this moment. Life is always now. Your entire life unfolds in this constant now. Even past or future moments only exist when you remember or anticipate them. And you do so by thinking about them in the only moment there is, this one. Now, do yourself a favor and zap back 60 seconds or whatever and read that, or listen to that again. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Everything seems to be subject to time, yet it all happens in the now. That is the paradox. Wherever you look, there is plenty of circumstantial evidence for the reality of time. A rotting apple, your face in the bathroom mirror compared to a face in a photo taken 30 years ago. Yet you never find any direct evidence. You never experience time itself. You only ever experience the present moment, or rather, what happens in it. If you go by direct evidence only, there is no time, and the now is all there ever is. I'll stop there, but that's what I was grappling with as I sat by the fire last night, trying to tell myself and awaken myself to what is this now? How do I feel this now? How do I know this now? How do I just be in this now without going forward or backward, with just existing now? How do I sort of awaken, open my eyes wider to that now without thinking, my bed would be nice to be in bed now, or those are thoughts. Those thoughts are in that present moment. But I kept redirecting to the flames, that flickering, ever-changing flame. And anyway, I'll leave you with that. Bye-bye. Yeah, just checking in, mid-afternoon, still on the Sunday. The sun high overhead, and 24 hours from now, there'll be an eclipse, and we'll experience it. So that's kind of cool, and I'll probably talk to you about that tomorrow when it's happening. But meanwhile, I just thought I'd catch you up on what I've done with my day. Lots of coffee. I made mine, and then Lisa had sort of French press style coffee and made those in very nice mugs that keep it hot and have a little flap you can push back to sip from, and quite nice. She's got a lot of good camping gear. And we chatted a lot. I got caught up on the show I stopped watching long ago, which was The Walking Dead. And she took me right up to the special, to the ending, with the special six-episode series. So, yeah, now I don't have to watch any of that. Thank you. I didn't want to. It is a gorgeous day. It's just absolutely beautiful. It's cool. It's still cool, but sunny, the sky is as clear and as beautiful as it could ever be. And I've been reading and digesting the often the same part, the same chapter, over and over again in the Tolle book. I'm moving on to the next section, the discovery of inner space. I've just finished finding who you really are. And, you know, I just keep saying it, but it just so resonates. And it's like I've read a lot about Buddhism and so on, and it's stuff you have to keep going back to. So, in fact, I went into my Road Trek library, because I have one, and pulled out the book by Steve Hagen, which I liked, called Buddhism Is Not What You Think. And that's such a great title, you know, Is Not What You Think. Yeah, exactly. He wrote Buddhism Plain and Simple, and that was my Bible for getting started. And I gave that to a fellow camper in Nova Scotia. Got into conversation, I said, here, take this. And I'm kind of sorry I don't have it. Because it was one of those books I would return to time and again. This book is just a little harder going. But then when you, now that I'm getting a much better idea, like Tolle's not talking specifically about Buddhism, but the idea is the same. The awakening is what Buddhism talks about. And both books make so many references to the words of Jesus. Not as Christianity in doing this, but just finding the truth, the way within. And so many, they both pull out sort of quotes that say, oh, okay, it aligns with Buddhism. Now, you know, you already know my opinions, but I don't get a sense of that at all from Islam. And maybe it's because, you know, if I looked at the Old Testament of Christianity, I'd just be furious, and so I don't read it. And then maybe the same with the Jewish religion, that, you know, anybody who follows these old scriptures and these rules of conduct, well, fuck you. Sorry. Those are dated. Those, you know, this the time has passed for stoning women for adultery or whatever it is you want to pick and go on about. The true business is of awakening is kindness and acceptedness, and gentleness, and you know. Anyway, I shouldn't go off on those tangents because it really bothers me, but that's the way it is. Anyway, I'm sort of flipping through from one book to the other, and it's doing good. So what else did I do besides that? Well, I haven't done my dishes yet. I thought I'd save them until there were no dishes left, and then I'll run the hot water and clean all my dishes before supper. I just finished a very nice bowl of cold cereal with yogurt. It's always a good camping treat. I am charging up my iPhone using my portable charger, light, wonderful little device I bought quite a while ago. One of these units that you can, once it's charged up, it holds a charge for a long time, and you can charge up other USB devices. And so I'm recharging my iPhone. I spent quite a bit of time actually going through all my paraphernalia to do with smoking weed. I've got a lot of stuff, and this is stuff you do not want to have in the van when you cross the border. So I need to make sure, okay, these things all go into this bag or into this place here, so that I know where to look when I do head across the border into the States, and make sure nothing is left in the van. And I found my wonderful little vape device that I paid $100 for the damn thing. And I could, you know, the light would go on. I charged it on this machine. The light would go on, it would show green. And then it's supposed to, the charger is supposed to turn red and then green, this other button. And I wasn't getting any lights or color coming from it. And every time I opened it up, there was still grass in there, marijuana in there, that had not been heated at all. So I had to kind of give up on that. That bothered me as a waste. Oh, and then I consolidated about three bags of toiletries. One, two, three, three or four bags. I have at least five toothbrushes with me on this trip, and that's just a bit of overkill. So I like to keep one handy, just a toothbrush and a little short, these, you know, giveaway tubes of toothpaste, so that I always know where it is. It's right behind the driver's seat, and there it is. Okay, you just want a quick, you know, stop at a rest stop, whatever, you just want to brush your teeth. There it is. But then I found another zipper bag with, oh my God, deodorant and lotions and tons of stuff that used to be in my house, and I guess I've decided to move it permanently to the road track. I know this is of absolutely no interest whatsoever, but I'm just trying to tell you how I spent my day sorting. Sorting something is a lifelong pastime, the art of sorting. So I was able to do that, and then I have another good plastic bag, which, I mean, this was productive, right? So now I have one bag, it's plaster, that I could bring into a shower, and it will have my shampoo, and another toothbrush and toothpaste, and deodorant, and lotion, and everything you need to have a shower. So bam, grab that one bag, you're good to go, and a towel, there you go. They got good washrooms here. I'm probably going to have a shower tomorrow, maybe, in honor of the eclipse. So that was, you know, that was done. So things got organized. So I did stuff. Oh, and I retaped my coffee pot. The coffee pot handle was so loose, it was spilling everywhere when I went to pour it. And I got out the duct tape and did that. That was the only job I really had to do today. I was going to check the air in my tires. I don't feel like doing that today, so I got the tire gauge out. It's on the dashboard. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow or the day after. Who knows? Just don't feel like doing it now. So there you go. And the thing is, everything is to my time or as I feel like it. There is truly an enlightening feeling, if I can say that, about camping. Maybe it's more of just a feeling of freedom, but you need that. If you're trying to move into the present, into the now, you need to feel a little unhindered by time. And that's what you can do when you're camping. Like, I just had that bowl of cereal just now, and it felt just right. Like, suddenly in my head, oh, you know, that cereal you took out, you know, 5 hours ago out of the little food bag, now would be a good time to have that. Yeah, that's right. And where are those yogurts? Oh, they're in the other cooler. Okay, yeah, let's do that now. And it was just perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. Oh, and I had a little half cup of leftover coffee. And I thought, you know, Ken, what are you going to do with half a cup of coffee? Well, you're going to heat that in the microwave, and then you're going to search in the cupboard below where you know you have a bottle of Cointreau, the liqueur. And you're going to heat that coffee up, and you're going to add a really nice splash of Cointreau. And you're going to enjoy that outside. And that's exactly what I did. It was wonderful. It tasted so good. And that's the thing. And breathing in the air and feeling the sun beating down on my face as I tilt my head back. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just this blessing. And this, again, this business of having the road trek and going camping and trying to, you know, read and study about Buddhism and trying to gain a little wisdom, they're all going together quite nicely. I don't know that I can convince too many other people that, but I think it's true. So there you go. That's my update. All right? Take it for whatever you think it's worth. Scarborough Dude, signing off with this little update in the middle of Sunday afternoon. Bye for now. Oops. Hang on. Recognize that ring? Yes, yes, yes. That's Sal's bell. we're inside. I took all my gear outside to talk to you, and the wind just is a little too strong. I don't have any of these mufflers, and I hate that wind sound that you've been having to put up with. So I moved us inside. I got my cup of coffee. Just finished my breakfast of cereal and banana bread with peanut butter. Juice was earlier, and I did what I planned to do last night. I had a shower, and boy, that felt good. There is a handicapped access shower, so you got a bar to hold on to and a little more space to put all your stuff. And I'm glad I did. And Lisa just got back. She did the same. And we both agreed it's kind of in honor of the sun. We felt it. It's almost, it might be in our DNA going very far back. This is a big occasion for the sun god. And it's right to be clean for it. I mean, that wasn't the only reason I needed a shower, period. But if I was going to have one, have it before the solstice that starts at 2 this afternoon. And it's cleared. Now, let me tell you, let me back up a little bit. Whoa there, Nellie. Rained a little bit last night, and foolishly, I didn't put any of the firewood under the table, which is standard practice for any camper. And I did fold up all my chairs, three of them, and the walker, and lean them against the van, and they got soaked. It rained during the night, and I thought, oh, they'll be fine like this, but they weren't. So they're out drying in the sun now. The sky is blue again. It's just going to be another gorgeous day, and I'm quite excited about that. Having 3 days to camp really does make a difference. That little extra day gives you time to really get into it, and you feel the time is stretched out a little more, and there's no haste to do anything. You got lots of time, so I'm going to keep that in mind for future bookings. Yeah. We had a good fire last night. Again, I turned it over to Lisa. Hey, you're the fire maker. And I brought those logs from the birch tree that was cut in front of our house. And she had lots of firewood and kindling and fire starters. Anyway, she does a good job. She knows her way around a fire. Lisa's a good camper. And I handed over the Huron poker and said, go to it. And then she went to bed a little earlier, maybe after 11. I stayed up till midnight. And took over what was left of the fire for then, and enjoyed it very much. Had a little root-de-doo, a little toque, and it was nice. It was very, very nice, just to chill by the fire. I didn't, you know, all along I've been thinking about that. No, I don't want to get high. I don't want to change everything, because I'm really content the way everything is. But late in the evening, sitting by a fire, that's not a bad time to have a little weed. So that's what I did. And then went at midnight and had a dump. Oh, my God. I know, too much information, but hey, I'm not going to go into the details. It's just that it was nice. I knew I could get to the washroom. Nobody would be around. It was nice. And, yeah, got in my exercise. So all is well. All is very well. It's been a very enjoyable camping trip. You can hear Tom Petty, of course, Wildflowers in the back. It rings as wonderful as it did the first time I raved about it, a whole podcast entitled Wildflower. So I guess there's a few things. Sorry, dropped my phone. There's just stuff. Here's a line. Let's do this one. Unless I don't think I've already done it. Through you, the universe is becoming aware of itself. I'll repeat. Through you, the universe is becoming aware of itself. Now I can see certain people saying, oh my God, this flaky shit. And honest truth, in my thinking, my way of understanding, that is true. That is this thing I've been latching on to, this idea of consciousness, awareness. It is coming through us, through this process of evolution, through us being able to reflect back on life. Like, we're not just surviving. We're not just like the animals that just got to eat to survive. And then, you know, of course they have feelings and lots of things, but they don't have this ability to reflect, to look back, to try and understand, to philosophize. And so that statement, it is, we are opening our eyes, and the chilling factor, of course, oh my God, of course, if we're doing that, other civilizations out there, other forms of life on other planets are, you know, before us, maybe primitive forms still, dinosaur type, and way, way beyond us, somewhere out there in this vastness that we'll most likely never see. But I'm thinking their objective is the same, to be the awareness, for the universe to be able to reflect back on itself through this these life forms. All right. We'll just, you know, deal with that as you like. This one maybe follows. God is formless consciousness. God is formless. Formless meaning nothing physical about it. Nothing. It's not of matter. God is formless consciousness and the essence of who you are. All right. Well, yeah, I'm just putting that out there. That's all I'm going to say. You decide how you want to handle it. Oh, was that the end of the album? I guess so. It's just all around been lovely, been good for me. This is a chance to grapple with the kind of things I'm talking about. I'll get back to the possible stopping podcasting at number 1,000. One of the reasons, and Lisa asked the same question, why? And I'm at the point now, yeah, really, why? So, sorry to disappoint some of you, but maybe I won't be stopping. But a question that always comes up is, why am I podcasting? Why am I doing it? What is the purpose behind it? And one of my little fears or worries about it is that I'm trying to hang on to things. And all these books and all these readings and all this Zen Buddhism stuff is about letting go, not holding on, being in the being, in the passing now, the living now. And I'm trying to tell you everything that seems to be important to me. And by putting it into these words and putting this into recording and putting it online and sharing it with others, it's like I'm holding on to this experience, this trip to Rondo Provincial Park. You know, it keeps it somehow. It holds it. It contains. I don't know what the thing is, but I know I've probably mentioned this in the past. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe just if you could just let go and just live it, but there's a little fear of it'll be gone. And I think that goes right back. Wow, that is probably, if I had a hypnotist or a psychologist able to take me back, that's probably got to go back very early childhood. This needing to hang on to keep, to hold. And I mentioned that a few podcasts ago, this, remember asking, you know, worrying about, what if you run out of words? You know, do you use up all your words? Were they finite? Apparently not. Okay. I guess there's one more thing. Yeah. This letting go business and just accepting the now. And awakening to it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yesterday, we had a walk, sat by Lake Erie. Oh, by the way, sitting by the fire, we could hear the waves of Lake Erie. It was actually the backdrop, the sound. And that was kind of nice. The wind had picked up, and you could just hear the waves. We're on a peninsula into Lake Erie, and the wind comes from both directions, which is what created this little peninsula, rising up all this silt and sand, making this little place that we're on now. And so you could hear the waves, and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, usually I'm on Lake Huron or Lake Ontario. Here we are on Lake Erie. So, yeah, that was nice. Now, do I really want to tell this story about the beer, the wrong beer? It was called Lone Pine. It was a milk... No, it was a coffee something or other. We went into the little, there's a store right at the gate to the park where they sell lots of beer. Bought a couple of cans, drank one, and then sitting by the fire, I switched over to red wine. It's kind of nice, just red wine sitting by the fire. It goes nicely. But at some point decided, no, I'm going to switch. I'm going to have another beer. And they said, oh, which one did you drink? Which one is it going to be? And so I felt I have to take one of the, drink the one that was from this park. That I bought, you know, outside the gate. A local Sons of Kent Brewing Company. Oh yeah, got it. I gotta have that one. And a coffee. Yeah. Well, that'll be good. Well, had a sip. Oh yeah, tasted like coffee. And second, third sip, and decided, you know, this isn't the beer I really want to be drinking now. And then I remember when I went to the fridge, I had to look for it, and I picked up all these other cans, and I have every can in the fridge is a different beer, and they're all kind of, you know, a little, oh, that's interesting. And it could have been any other beer, but Lisa had mentioned, you know, you're going to get the other beer, and so I felt, yeah, I know, that's the beer I should have. Take that beer. And so I did, and then wasn't happy with my choice after. And this is, as I sat there, I was thinking this through. My mind was going, gosh, why'd you make that decision? You could have made another decision. You could have done this. What other beer could you have had? And all I'm doing, instead of being in the moment and accepting the moment for just what it is, the decision has already been made. The everything is already in place. I'm not going to put back an open beer and go get another one. It wasn't bad, but it's just that I was using all these words, thoughts in my head to take me out of just being sitting by the fire comfortably, contentedly, and instead rationalizing, questioning, applying values, taking a taste, I could have the other taste, and doing everything that this book is about getting you out of that frame of mind where you're judging everything. And it's not to say that, oh, I guess it is to say that what difference would it have made if I had chosen another beer? Would I be saying, oh, this is really good? Or would I be saying the same thing? Damn, why didn't I get the beer that Lisa suggested, the one that I picked up in the store? I probably would have been going through the same thing regardless of what beer it was. In other words, creating my own misery, creating my own complications. When everything was just simple, it is what it is. And I'm relating this story with some embarrassment because it's a stupid story. But it just struck me at the time as an example of what I'm trying to get away from. Stop. Stop this evaluation. Stop. And it didn't say you just abandon everything. You know, you have a meal and you don't care. You do care. You like something, you know, you go out for a meal, you want a good meal, you want it to taste right. It's not that you're, I don't know. You have to accept that old line, it is what it is. It is what it is. And go with it. And the other line in the book is, this too shall pass. And I was reminding myself of that. So, here's another level to that whole story. I knew I was going to tell you that story. It was already planned. It was already in my mind. It was already, I'd even made a note. Here's the note I dictated. Is it trying? Oh, no, we didn't. Oh, maybe I didn't. No, it's somewhere else. It's a reminder. Let's check the reminders. Here it is. My watch couldn't do anything. It couldn't make a note, but it could make a to-do. So I made this reminder. The implications of choosing the wrong beer. Now, I'm sure to many of you that was just dribble. And maybe it is to me too. So we're going to stop right there. Sorry. Apologies. Bye-bye. Yeah, check, check, check. It is Monday. Monday, the day of the eclipse. It's about 7 p.m. So that was just a few short hours ago, and oh my God, we had perfect spots. We arranged our chairs right here on my campsite. Had little footstools. Lisa had got hold of the proper glasses and a very neat booklet about the whole thing, the science and everything else, history. And then watched, and you put the glasses on, and you just see a little bit of a black spot on the bottom right corner of the sun, and then gradually gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is taking quite a while, but you know what you're building up to. And then there's that moment of total eclipse, when the moon completely blacks out the sun, and it seems darker outside, you know. But you can take your glasses off for that minute or less than 2 minutes while it's in total eclipse, and look at the sun, and it just, wow, it was so cool. And what was neat is you could hear the gasp around the campground, like pretty well everybody here knew what was going on, and just, oh, wow. And so there may be a little clip at the end of this. Lisa had tried to record a video, and we got a little audio got caught, so it may end with that noise. But anyway, it was spectacular. I mean, it was the reason for coming for this campground at this time of year. But that was just one thing. The whole trip has been a wonderful start to the camping season, and it's been a great park, great sights. We're sort of parked side by side, but we've had the fires on my side, so tonight we'll have another one, and then Lisa will leave in the morning, and I will leave shortly after for the trip home. But just wanted to share that with you. It's kind of neat on social media seeing who took pictures. Some great photos. But, you know, people scattered around the country in North America sort of, you know, stationed for this. And some places were cloudy, like apparently Toronto area was cloudy and wasn't perfect viewing conditions. But right here, it was fabulous. And I wasn't hyped up about this thing at all. You know, what's the big deal? I've lived through other eclipses. I filmed one in Japan. That's a long story. Rob Balser would know about that. It was at his house. And anyway, that was just a great thing. So I'm going to end there, and I'll get back to having another nice night around the fire. The temperature really drops at night. You gotta have warm layers on. But once you've got a fire blazing, it's everything is great. So this is yours truly, the Scarbo Dude, signing off. It's just been a happy and enjoyable occasion. Bye for now. Ding dong ding. Good morning. It's about 10:15, and I'm soon on my way. Everything is packed up. Engine is running, so I can keep the fridge on DC power. Ooh. A little out of breath. I mean, there's, you know, there's an hour's work to packing up, even when it's this simple. We're not dealing with a tent or tarps or anything. But, you know, stuff to load up. And it gets done. And then the process of unloading begins back at home, but I'll deal with that when I have to. Right now, I'm sitting in the sunshine at this beautiful park. Like I say, first time here, and I would certainly have no qualms about coming back. It's a lot of people have cleared out. They were just here for the eclipse, and it's very quiet now. And this is early for a provincial park to be open. What is it, April, whatever? The day after the eclipse, 9th, I guess. And it's been one of the most enjoyable camping weekends I can remember. I normally do like to be alone, but Lisa's a very good traveling mate, a camping mate. And she tended the fire all three nights, and she knew what she was doing. It's not like when you've got a rookie and they're messing things up. She knew how to get the airflow and how to position the logs. And she'd be in there with her hands, you know, lifting up burning logs. So nice for me to sit back. And then I took over, you know, she goes to bed before me. And I take over with my Huron poker and enjoy the last few coals and embers and a few flames. It's nice. The eclipse was spectacular. I mean, it really was an event. Wow. And I would have missed it altogether had she not mentioned, hey, you know, I'm looking for a spot where there'll be a good viewing, and this was it. And then the sunset last night, it will be the cover photo for this, was unbelievable. And we are just, like, we are very close to the lake. It was just a short jaunt. And they had nice benches there you could sit on right on the edge of Lake Erie. And it just went down and everything turned to gold and red. It just was amazing, as you can see from the photo, which I'm putting on Facebook, Instagram, and this podcast. And just, I could see out of the corner of my eye some geese flying by, and I just snapped that picture hoping I'd capture them, and I just got them in time. It just makes, adds to perfection. So I'm pretty pleased about that, and pleased about everything this whole damn trip. I guess, yeah, why not? I'm going to go get my book. Yeah, hang on. You're in for one more reading, but it's almost a summary of what I've been trying to share here. I don't know. I, you know, the defense mechanism rises up, and I think I may have turned a lot of people off and so on, but that's okay. That's okay. The part I want to share is really a very simple way of putting what it's all about, or what I think it's about. If you're able to enjoy simple things, like listening to the sound of rain or the wind, if you can see the beauty of clouds moving across the sky, or be alone at times without feeling lonely or needing the mental stimulus of entertainment, if you find yourself treating a complete stranger with heartfelt kindness without wanting anything from him or her, it means that a space has opened up, no matter how briefly, in the otherwise incessant stream of thinking that is the human mind. When this happens, there is a sense of well-being, of a live peace, even though it may be subtle. He's talking about the inner space. When you're able to sense it directly within yourself, it deepens. So when you appreciate something simple, a sound, a sight, a touch, when you see beauty, when you feel loving kindness towards another, sense the inner spaciousness that is the source and background to that experience. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Rondeau Provincial Park.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That is insane. Wow. Oh, my God.